Alright, we're on to Chapter 5 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. And this is called The Dementor. Tom woke Harry the next morning with his usual toothless grin and cup of tea. Harry got dressed and was just persuading a disgruntled Hedwig to get back in her cage, when Ron banged his way into the room, pulling a sweatshirt over his head and looking irritable. "The sooner we get on the train, the better," he said. "At least I can get away from Percy at Hogwarts. Now he's accusing me of dripping tea on his photo of Penelope Clearwater. You know," Ron grimaced, "his girlfriend. She's hidden her face under the frame because her nose has gone all blotchy." "I've got something to tell you," Harry began, but they were interrupted by Fred and George, who looked in to congratulate Ron on infuriating Percy again. They headed down to breakfast, where Mr. Weasley was reading the front page of the Daily Prophet with a furrowed brow, and Mrs. Weasley was telling Hermione and Ginny about a love potion she'd made as a young girlie. All three of them were rather giggly. "What were you saying?"
"Just a little softer, sorry. I'm sorry. Just a little."
"Well, I also want to make sure you can hear it on the recording."
"You always can."
"Can you? Okay."
"Yeah. It's even when you do, like, the whisper recordings from the dorm."
"Oh, really? You can?"
"Yep."
"Okay. What were you saying?" Ron asked Harry as they sat down. "Later," Harry muttered as Percy stormed in. Harry had no chance to speak to Ron or Hermione in the chaos of leaving. They were too busy heaving all their trunks down the leaky cauldron's narrow staircase and piling them up near the door, with Hedwig and Hermes, Percy's screech owl, perched on top of their cages. A small wickerwork basket stood beside the heap of trunks, spitting loudly. "It's all right, Crookshanks," Hermione cooed through the wickerwork. "It won't let you out on the train." "Oh, I'll let you out on the train." "You won't," snapped Ron. "What about poor Scabbers, eh?" He pointed at his chest, where a large lump indicated that Scabbers was curled up in his pocket. Mr. Weasley, who had been outside waiting for the ministry cars, stuck his head inside. "They're here," he said. "Harry, come on." Mr. Weasley marched Harry across the short stretch of pavement toward the first of two old-fashioned dark green cars, each of which was driven by a furtive-looking wizard wearing a suit of emerald velvet, like the Wizard of Oz. "In you get, Harry," said Mr. Weasley, glancing up and down the crowded street. Harry got into the back of the car and was shortly joined by Hermione, Ron, and, to Ron's disgust, Percy. The journey to King's Cross was very uneventful compared with Harry's trip on the night bus. The Ministry of Magic cars seemed almost ordinary, although Harry noticed that they could slide through gaps that Uncle Vernon's new company car certainly couldn't have managed. They reached King's Cross with 20 minutes to spare. The ministry drivers found them trolleys, unloaded their trunks, and touched their hats in salute to Mr. Weasley, and then drove away, somehow managing to jump to the head of an unmoving line of traffic at the traffic lights. Mr. Weasley kept close to Harry's elbow all the way to the station. "Right then," he said, glancing around them. "Sorry. Let's do this in pairs, as there are so many of us. I'll go through first with Harry." Mr. Weasley strolled toward the barrier between the platforms 9 and 10, pushing Harry's trolley, and apparently very interested in the Intercity 125 that had just arrived at Platform 9. With a meaningful look at Harry, he leaned casually against the barrier. Harry imitated him. In a moment, they had fallen sideways through the solid metal onto Platform 9 and 3/4 and looked up to see the Hogwarts Express, a scarlet steam engine puffing smoke over a platform packed with witches and wizards seeing their children onto the train. Percy and Ginny suddenly appeared behind Harry. They were panting and had apparently taken the barrier at a run. "Ah, there's Penelope," said Percy, smoothing his hair and going pink again. Ginny caught Harry's eye and they both turned away to hide their laughter as Percy strode over to a girl with long, curly hair, walking with his chest thrown out so that she couldn't miss his shiny badge. Sure. Once the remaining Weasleys and Hermione had joined them, Harry and Ron led the way to the end of the train, past packed compartments, to a carriage that looked quite empty. They loaded their trunks onto it, stowed Hedwig and Crookshanks in the luggage rack. Poor Crookshanks. Cats don't like being cooped up like that.
I thought she was going to let him out.
Yeah, I thought so too.
We'll see.
Yeah. And then went back outside to say goodbye to Mr. and Mrs. Weasley. Mrs. Weasley kissed all her children, then Hermione, and finally Harry. He was embarrassed, but really quite pleased when she gave him an extra hug. What?
Cute.
What?
I like it.
He doesn't have a mother.
I know, that's why I like
it. You would take him under your wing, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Do take care, won't you, Harry? She said as she straightened up, her eyes oddly bright. Then she opened her enormous handbag and said, I've made you all sandwiches. Here you are, Ron. No, they're not corned beef. Fred, where's Fred? Here you are, dear. Harry, said Mr. Weasley quietly, come over here a moment. He jerked his head toward a pillar, and Harry followed him behind it, leaving the others crowded around Mr. Weasley. There's something I've got to tell you before you leave, said Mr. Weasley in a tense voice. It's all right, Mr. Weasley, said Harry. I already know. You know? How could you know? I heard you and Mrs. Weasley talking last night. Sorry, talking, not talking. I couldn't help hearing, Harry said quickly. Sorry. That's not the way I'd have chosen for you to find out, said Mr. Weasley, looking anxious. No, honestly, it's okay. This way, you haven't broken your word to Fudge, and I know what's going on. Harry, you must be very scared. I'm not, said Harry sincerely. Really, he added, because Mr. Weasley was looking disbelieving. I'm not trying to be a hero, but seriously, Sirius Black can't be worse than Voldemort, can he? Mr. Weasley flinched at the sound of the name, but overlooked it. Harry, I knew you, well, were made of stronger stuff than Fudge seems to think. And I'm obviously pleased that you're not scared, but... Arthur, cried Mrs. Weasley, who was now shepherding the rest onto the train. Arthur, what are you doing? It's about to go. He's coming, Molly, said Mr. Weasley, but he turned back to Harry and kept talking in a low and more hurried voice. Listen, I want you to give me your word. That'll be a good boy and stay in the castle, said Harry gloomily. Not entirely, said Mr. Weasley, who looked more serious than Harry had ever seen him. Harry, swear to me that you won't go looking for Black. Harry stared. What? There was a loud whistle. Guards were walking along the train, slamming all the drawers shut. Promise me, Harry, said Mr. Weasley, talking more quickly still, that whatever happens... Why would I go looking for someone I know wants to kill me? Said Harry blankly. Swear to me that whatever you might hear... Arthur, quickly, said Mrs. Weasley. Steam was pillowing from the train. It had started to move. Harry ran to the compartment door and Ron threw it open and stood back to let him on. They leaned out the window and waved to Mr. and Mrs. Weasley until the train turned a corner and blocked them from view. I need to talk to you in private, Harry muttered to Ron and Hermione as the train picked up speed. Go away, Ginny, said Ron. Oh, that's nice, said Ginny huffily, and she stopped him. Why didn't Harry let Ginny listen?
They're not lovers yet. Remember, Cho gets into her, his, like...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But still, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could be nice to her.
But they're not, you know...
Yeah.
They're not, like, super close friends, so he's telling his, like, posse, and she's not his posse.
But doesn't Harry want to...
No.
No. He is 13. He probably does.
Not her.
No?
No, he just wants Cho.
Oh, he doesn't know her yet. Harry, Ron, and Hermione set off down the corridor, looking for an empty compartment. But all were full except for one at the very end of the train. This had only one occupant, a man sitting fast asleep next to the window. Harry, Ron, and Hermione checked on the threshold. The Hogwarts Express was usually reserved for students, and they'd never seen an adult there before, except for the witch who pushed the food cart. The stranger was wearing an extremely shabby set of wizard's robes that had been darned in several places. He looked ill and exhausted. Though quite young, his light brown hair was flecked with gray. Who do you reckon he is? Ron hissed as they sat down and slid the door shut, taking the furthest seats away from the window. You know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
The werewolf guy.
Professor R.J. Lupin, whispered yep. Hermione at once.
Stop it!
Sorry, you don't like when I do it.
No, because you go in one place and, it chafes me. If you, stroked along my arm, it would be nice. Okay. Yeah, it's like petting a kitty.
Yeah. How do you know that? It's on his case, she replied, pointing at the luggage rack over the man's head, where there was a small battered case held together with a large quantity of neatly knotted string. The name Professor R.J. Lupin was stamped across one corner in peeling letters. Wonder what he teaches, said Ron, frowning at Professor Lupin's pallid profile. That's obvious, whispered Hermione. There's only one vacancy, isn't there? Defense against the dark arts. Harry, Ron, and Hermione had already had two Defense Against the Dark Arts teachers, both of whom had lasted only 1 year. There were rumors that the job was jinxed. Well, I hope he's up to it, said Ron doubtfully. He looks like one good hex would finish him off, doesn't he? Anyway, he turned to Harry. What were you going to tell us? Harry explained all about Mr. and Mrs. Weasley's argument and the warning Mr. Weasley had just given him. When he'd finished, Ron looked thunderstruck, and Hermione had her hands over her mouth. She finally lowered them to say, Sirius Black escaped to come after you? Oh, Harry, you'll have to be really, really careful. Don't go looking for trouble, Harry. I don't go looking for trouble, said Harry, nettled. Trouble usually finds me. Yeah, what the good Harry have to be, going to look for a nutter wants to kill him, said Ron shakily. They were taking the news worse than Harry had expected. Both Ron and Hermione seemed to be much more frightened of Black than he was. No one knows how he got out of Azkaban, said Ron uncomfortably. No one's ever done it before, and he was a top security prisoner, too. But they'll catch him, won't they? Said Hermione earnestly. I mean, they've got all the muggles looking for him, too. What's that noise? Said Ron suddenly. A faint, tinny sort of whistle was coming from nearby. They looked all around the compartment. It's coming from your trunk, Harry, said Ron, standing up and reaching into the luggage rack. A moment later, he had pulled the pocket sneakoscope out from Harry's robes. It was spinning very fast in the palm of Ron's hand and glowing brilliantly. Is that a sneakoscope? Said Hermione, interestedly, standing up for a better look. Yeah, mind you, it's a very cheap one, said Ron. It went haywire just as I was tying it to Arrow's leg to send it to Harry. Were you doing anything untrustworthy at the time? Asked Hermione shrewdly. No, said Ron. Well, I wasn't supposed to be using Arrow. You know he's really not up to long journeys. But how else was I supposed to get Harry's present to him? Stick it back in the trunk, Harry advised as the sneakoscope whistled piercingly. Or it'll wake him up. He nodded towards Professor Lupin. Ron stuffed the sneakoscope into a particularly horrible pair of Uncle Vernon's old socks, which deadened the sound, and then closed the lid of the trunk on.
Why don't they look outside the compartment?
You know, because they're not very bright.
I know, seriously, that's just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm a paranoid person, because, that would be the first thing I would do.
Yeah.
I would throw open the door and, punch whoever was there.
Punch, for sure. Pinch. We could get it checked in Hogsmeade, said Ron, sitting back down. They sell that sort of thing in Divish and Bangs, magical instruments and stuff. Fred and George told me. Do you know much about Hogsmeade? Asked Hermione keenly. Aye, Fred, it's the only entirely non-muggle settlement in Britain. Yeah, I think it is, said Ron in an offhand sort of way. But that's not why I want to go. I just want to get inside Honeydukes. What's that? Said Hermione. It's the sweet shop, said Ron, a dreamy look coming over his face. They've got everything. Pepper imps. They make you smoke in the mouth. Great fat choco balls full of strawberry mousse and clotted cream. Really excellent sugar quills, which you can suck in class. They look just like you're thinking about what to write next. That's cute. But Hogsmeade's a very interesting place, isn't it? Hermione pressed on eagerly. In Sites of Historical Sorcery, it says the inn was the headquarters for the 1612 Goblin Rebellion, and the Shrieking Shack's supposed to be the most severely haunted building in Britain. And massive sherbet balls that... What? Okay. Massive sherbet balls that make you levitate a few inches off the ground while you're sucking them, said Ron, who was plainly not listening to a word Hermione was saying. Hermione looked at Harry. Wouldn't it be nice to get out of school for a bit and explore Hogsmeade? Expect it will, said Harry heavily. You'll have to tell me when you found out. What do you mean? Said Ron. I can't go. The Dursleys didn't sign my permission form, and Fudge wouldn't either. Ron looked horrified. You're not allowed to come? But no way. McGonagall or someone would give you permission. Harry gave a hollow laugh. Professor McGonagall, head of Gryffindor House, was very strict. Or we can ask Fred and George. They know every secret passage out of the castle. Ron, said Hermione sharply, I don't think Harry should be sneaking out of school with Black on the loose. Yeah, I expect that's what McGonagall will say when I ask for permission, said Harry bitterly. But if we're with him, said Ron spiritedly to Hermione, Black wouldn't dare. Oh, Ron, don't talk rubbish, snapped Hermione. Black's already murdered a whole bunch of people in the middle of a crowded street. You think he's really going to worry about attacking Harry just because we're there? She was fumbling with the straps of Crookshank's basket as she spoke. Don't let that thing out, said Ron, but it was too late. Crookshank leapt lightly from the basket, stretched, yawned, and sprang onto Ron's knees. The lump in Ron's pocket trembled as he shoved Crookshanks angrily away. Get out of here. Ron, don't, said Hermione angrily. Ron was just about to answer when Professor Lupin stirred. They watched him apprehensively, but he simply turned his head the other way, mouth slightly open, and slept on. The Hogwarts Express moved steadily north, and the scenery outside the window became wilder and darker, while the clouds overhead thickened. People were chasing backwards and forwards past their door of the compartment. Crookshanks had now settled in an empty seat, his squashed face turned towards Ron, his yellow eyes on Ron's top pocket. At 1 o'clock, the pump witch with the food cart arrived at the compartment door. Do you think we should wake him up? Ron asked awkwardly, nodding towards Professor Lupin. He looks like he could do with some food. Hermione approached Professor Lupin cautiously. Professor, she said. Excuse me, Professor. He didn't move. Don't worry, dear, said the witch as she handed Harry a large stack of cauldron cakes. If he's hungry when he wakes up, I'll be up front with the driver. I suppose he is asleep, said Ron quietly as the witch slid the compartment door closed. I mean, he hasn't died, has he? No, he's breathing, whispered Hermione, taking the cauldron cake Harry passed her. He might not be very good company, but Professor Lupin's presence in their compartment had its uses. Mid-afternoon, just as it had started to rain, blurring the rolling hills outside the window, they heard footsteps in the corridor again, and their three least favorite people appeared at their door. Draco Malfoy, flanked by his cronies, Vincent Crabbe and Gregory Goyle. Draco Malfoy and Harry had been enemies ever since they had first met on their very first journey to Hogwarts. Malfoy, who had...
That's not true. That's not when they first met. They met in Madame Mulkin's robe shop.
You are correct. She is wrong.
In her own book.
In her own book. What do you know? It's my girl. Malfoy, who had a pale, pointed, sneering face, was in Slytherin House. He played Seeker on the Slytherin Quidditch team, the same position that Harry played on the Gryffindor team. And Crabbe and Goyle seemed to exist just to do Malfoy's bidding. They were both wide and muscly. Crabbe was taller, with a pudding bowl haircut and a very thick neck. Goyle had short, bristly hair and long, gorillish arms. How did I do Malfoy? Do you remember?
Hello, it's your turn. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Wow, look who it is.
Good.
Was that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, said Malfoy, in his usual lazy drawl. Exactly. Pulling open the compartment door. Potty and the Weasel. Crabbe and Goyle chuckled trollishly. I heard your father finally got hands on some gold this summer, Weasley. Did your mother die of shock? Ron stood up so quickly he knocked Crookshank's basket to the floor. Professor Lupin gave a snort. Who's that? Said Malfoy, taking an automatic step backwards as he spotted Lupin. New teacher, said Harry, who got to his feet too in case he needed to hold Ron back. What were you saying, Malfoy? Malfoy's pale eyes narrowed. He wasn't fool enough to pick a fight right under a teacher's nose. Come on, he muttered resentfully to Crabbe and Goyle, and they disappeared. Harry and Ron sat down again, Ron massaging his knuckles.
We should go to bed soon.
Okay.
Just find the stopping.
Okay. I'm not going to take any more crap from Malfoy this year, he said angrily. I mean it. If he makes one more crack about my family, I'm going to get hold of his head and... Ron made a violent gesture. Ron, hissed Hermione, pointing at Professor Lupin. Be careful. But Professor Lupin was still fast asleep. Can we stop there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alright, page 80. Alright, let me say goodnight to you in the recording if you're hearing this. I love you so much, my sweet kitty. The most beautiful girl in the world. I love you, Carrie. Good night.